This teaching is from City Church Coventry. You can find us online at www.citychurchcoventry.org.
It's good to be together in God's presence. We've known the Holy Spirit ministering to us. We've heard his word. And this week, for those of you who are who don't come to this church or don't fellowship with us, or you're new to us or visiting this morning, and for those of us who are part of the furniture, if you like, this Sunday is, if you like, Co-Mission Sunday. Co-Mission is a small but growing group of us who have been reaching out into the city centre of Coventry each month by going out and worshipping on the streets. But this morning we're not here just to impart information to you. It's actually just a reminder of who we are. We're talking about discipleship in our midst at the moment, and disciple is an empowered witness of Jesus. That's who we are. And so whilst, yes, I'm going to bring a little bit from the scriptures, and then we're going to do a little practical exercise following a question I'm going to ask everybody during that bit I bring from the scriptures. And then Bilardi's going to come and share something about an organization that's already doing a great work in the city that we could get involved with. And then Paul is going to come and share more of the heart behind Co-Mission and what it is we've been doing. But it's important we realize it's not just here's some information. It's actually a reminder of who we are. And that's why Co-Mission exists. It exists really to cultivate and establish a culture in our midst and a mindset in our midst that isn't going away, because it's who we are. We are empowered witnesses that we are not just the family of God who enjoy fellowship together, but we are the family of God that is always extending and reaching out to see the lost saved. I was reading in the scriptures, Isaiah 55. It's not a chapter that I've often thought of evangelism of when I've read that. But listen to this. In Isaiah 55, Isaiah prophesies by the Holy Spirit in verse 3. Give ear and come to me, hear me, that your soul may live. That's God's invite in the first place. Give ear and come to me, hear me, that your soul may live. For any of us reading this book in the midweek, be with Jesus, become like him. Give ear, come to me, be with me, become more like me. But not just to stay there, do as he did. Do as he did. In 1 John it says, if we claim to love Jesus, whoever claims to love Jesus and follow Jesus must walk as Jesus walked. And later on in Isaiah, it says at verse 12, having been invited to come and be with him, you will go out in joy. You will go out in joy. I don't know if you remember it, but Chris Homer Hodges prophesied last year about us being a people who are going to be coming and going. That's just the nature of being a disciple of Jesus. We come to be with him and we go out in joy. Not because it's not just a joy to receive what he has, but it's a joy to share it. It's in our nature. Amen. So that's what Co-Mission is actually about. It's cultivating that mindset, that attitude. There is no distinction or inconsistency between being a disciple of Jesus and being his witness. And we must realize that the church, I think it's fair to say, at times past has fallen into sometimes one of two camps. Either we're all about being with Jesus and we forget about the outside world, or we're all about mission and that becomes a works mindset. Oh gosh, it's another thing on the Christian to-do list. And we're all about reaching out. And God says, no, no, no. Both of those are an error. It's a false distinction. As a disciple of Christ, the inevitable result is that we will be reaching out, and it's a joy for us to do so. Does that make sense? Amen? he empowers us to reach out by his Holy Spirit. I just want to take us to one further scripture in 1 Corinthians, now just in the context of Co-Mission. And it's the Apostle Paul, 1 Corinthians 9, 19 to 23. I'm just going to read this for us. This is what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9, 19-23. Though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means, please note that, all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. There is a sharing in the blessing of the gospel of God by sharing the gospel of God to win as many as possible by all possible means. He was the apostle, not the evangelist. And yet we know that all the gifts of Christ, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, are given to equip us for works of service. He wasn't the evangelist, but listen to the apostle's heart. Oh, that by all possible means, I might win some for Jesus. You see, whether you're apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, elder, deacon, it doesn't matter who you are in the kingdom of God. It's in the nature of every believer to win some, because we have become disciples of Christ and we know how good he is and we just want to give him away. That's the heart. That's the heart behind commission. So, bit of a practical exercise now. If you cannot see yourself, and it's okay if you can't, going out onto the streets with us and worshiping in the streets, that's not a, it's not a mandate, that not everybody has to do that. It's something that Paul will be sharing a bit more later as to why we're doing that, but it's not limited to that. If you can't see yourself doing that, then here's the question for you guys to consider. What are your possible means? Because you have some. You have some. And actually, we want to receive the wisdom from the body. If you're not seeing yourself worshiping on the streets, where are you seeing yourself reaching out for Jesus? Who are you with? Who are you talking to? Where is your respective field? Which is what something Bilardi will be sharing about a work that's going on in this city later, about a particular field that you could get involved in. But that's the question. Where are your possible means? Because you are, I am, we are, empowered witnesses. We are disciples, and that is the same as being an empowered witness by the Holy Spirit. Amen. So I'm just going to ask you to just take a few minutes. Groups of twos or threes. There is some paper here. I began to put some paper out, but a bit of an administrative faux pas. Mine was kind of lined and not very good. Paul brought a great sort of A4 plain sort of bulky pad here. So we're like, no, let's just leave it at that. So please, please, by all means, come and get some paper, sit in groups of threes or fours, and I want you to ask yourselves the question, where do I see myself reaching out? What are my possible means? And then we would love that. If you could actually just leave them here once we're done. We'll take probably sort of 10 minutes to do that, because what we're going to do then as a group, we're going to consider, well, what is it that people are crying out to say, actually, I can see myself doing this, I can see myself doing that. And so the work of reaching out in our midst will grow from the body itself. Amen. Praise God. So yeah, do consider what are your possible means, and go. Praise God. Okay, guys, I'm going to shortly hand on to Bilardi, but hopefully that sparked some ideas and discussion and stirred your hearts about where you see your possible means of reaching out. Just for a handover, that's just one thing I wanted everyone to catch, was that evangelism is not that other thing on the whole list of to do. He didn't say, you'll receive pressure to be my witnesses. He said, you'll receive power to be my witnesses. It's as we're with Jesus and we're his disciple that we're empowered to reach out, okay? So I'm going to bring Bilardi up here, because we don't have to reinvent the wheel in every respect. There is already good work going on in this city that we can join in with. particularly if you have a heart for students. I'm going to have Belida come up and tell you about an organization he's been working with for quite some time. So that'd be great. Thanks, Belida.
Thank you, Ben. And thank you, Church. Friends International. Before I start talking about Friends International, I just want to paint a picture in your heart and just tell you, not a story, but just to an image. Imagine yourself being 17, 18, 19, 20-year-old. You've come to a new country. You've come to a new culture. You've come as an international student to study. You don't have any friends. You don't have any family. When it comes to Christmas time, your friends at uni would go home to see their parents and have a nice time at home. But you're stuck on campus because it's just really expensive to go back home. You don't have any social connections around, and you're alone for the next week, 2 weeks, very lonely. People struggle to understand your accent. The food is not quite nice because it's not something you're used to. That is the lifestyle of an international student. That is the journey a typical international student goes through every semester, every week. And we have a role we can play. Do you want to, Chris, can you put up those slides up for me, please? I just want to talk to you about Friends International and what we do. So Friends International is an organization that's been around for a long time. They work with international students in cities around the UK. Their mission statement, it says, to see international students transformed by the good news of Jesus so that they fully engage with the mission of the church in the world. So that's the vision. And the mission statement, and this is where we can play our part. The mission to work with the church to communicate the good news of Jesus to international students, both in words and deed and in whole life cross-cultural discipleship. Right, we're talking about discipleship. And I just don't want us to undermine or discount how much our good works can be interpreted in somebody who is lonely, who is dejected, who feels alone. So little things and little help that we can give to strangers do go a long way. And that's the work of international students. We want to plant seeds. We want to make something germinate, you know, showing love to people that, you know what, this is the love of Christ that you will want to take with you. Whether you go back home to your country, whether you stay in the UK, but there's something that we want to deposit in people's hearts that would germinate and would translate to God's love. So that's what Friends International do. So how can we get involved in this? So in Coventry, we have two big universities in Coventry. Both of them attract a lot of international students. So the last count, I think Coventry, University of Coventry was attracting something about 50,000. I don't know if it's gone down now, about 50,000 international students. And in Warwick University, as of 2021, we're talking about 11,000 international students. So we're talking about 60, 70,000 international students in this city alone. 60, 70,000 international students, that is a lot of young people that we can, you know, communicate God's love with. You know, we can show them how amazing Christ is. So, and this is all we can do. So Friends International have two staff workers in Coventry. Both of them organize events that, you know, you can be part of. There's something called Glow Cafe that happens on a Wednesday and on a Tuesday that you can be part of. So if you want to know more about this, you can come and have a chat with me and I'll tell you more about this. So there are people on ground actually working, you know, doing the work for us. So we don't have to, like Ben said, we don't have to reinvent the wheel. We just need to be part of what is happening already. Okay, so how can you be part of it? There are three things you can do for us. Number one, you can pray for the work that has been done in the city. So there are students that we're engaged with at the moment that are coming for Bible study. So Carissa, she's not in the room today, but Carissa leads one of the Bible studies that we do. So it's something you can get engaged with, you know, come and speak to myself. I'll connect you with Abigail or Catherine. Those are the ladies that lead the French National Student Work in Coventry. So you can get involved by leading one of the Bible studies we do. You can pray for the work that, you know, the seeds are being planted, germinating people's heart. And, you know, we see see, you know, we see things, we see the tree grow, you know, basically. And lastly, you can help us by being part of it financially. So at the moment, we have about six churches that we that are engaged in the work in Coventry. And some of these churches help us financially. So you can imagine the events we run do need money. The ladies actually organizing these events as well. It's a self-funding role. So they are volunteers. They are charity workers. So they're meant to raise their own funds themselves. So any donation that comes into the organization helps these people, you know, do the work they need to do. And that's about it, really. I'm going to leave you with one story. Earlier on this year, I was organized to I was invited to a conference, and there was this guy there who was Chinese. He came to the UK as an international student. Now he's married, based in the UK, and he has a kid. But I don't know if he became a Christian when he was still studying in at the university. I don't know what university he went to, but he spoke passionately about how he goes back to China to help the local church in his village, and because of the deposits he's had from people around him when he was an international student, he became a Christian. He's on fire for God. You know, in China, they're persecuted. But when you are one of, you know, when you're Chinese, you can sleep under the radar, you know, you can work effectively. So he spoke about how he would go back home, you know, help the local churches in the work they do. And that's because somebody in one of the cities in Coventry, working with Friends International, showed him love, explained the Bible to him, deposited the seed, and something is happening in China as a result of that. So I just want to encourage you that don't discard what or the role you can play in this. And come and have a chat with myself at the end of the meeting, and I would, you know, connect you with Abigail or Catherine, and I know that kingdom would advance just by you engaging in any way you can. Thank you.
Thanks, Ben. That story that Bilardi just told us is absolutely excellent. And it really exemplifies why I believe so many international students, not just students either, are coming to this country, because at the moment we're free in this country to spread the gospel, to proclaim the gospel. And many of these students are coming from countries where they've never heard the gospel, because the church is not as free as we are. And I believe God is bringing these people here so that they can hear the gospel. They think they're coming to study and get qualifications. God is bringing them here to hear the gospel so that they can come to know him and take the gospel back to their own situations. I believe that, and we've just heard an example of it. But just before I say anything about commissioned, I'd like to take us to a verse in Scripture. You can look at it if you want, but you don't have to do it. I'll just read it. John chapter 4, verses 34 and 35. Which say this, and this is Jesus speaking, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Do you not say there are yet 4 months, then comes the harvest? Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white to harvest." And Jesus is saying there, and this is the part that I really want to emphasize to us and bring to us, really, is lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. And, the context in which Jesus makes that statement is interesting as well, because previously he'd said, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work." And, of course, the work of the 21st century church is to continue with that same mission and that same work as Jesus, as a corporate Christ, as a corporate Jesus. And so what this scripture seems to be telling is to be like Jesus and not to be focused so much on ourselves and our own needs, but rather attend to the harvest. Put our eyes on the harvest, and he will take care of all our needs and all our requirements. And just maybe if we see the fields out there when we open our front doors, if we see those fields ripe and ready and just waiting for the harvesters, our mission will be much less intimidating. So lift up your eyes, the fields ripe and ready for harvest. So commission. Now, as Ben's already suggested, as he's already said, it was never set up to be about doing outreach. It was never set up either to be a midweek group specifically. But it's also, we do those things, but also it's about promoting and fostering a corporate mission mentality, a corporate mission mindedness, if you like, amongst us. So it's not just about some of us going out and worshipping in the city centre, but it's about us all stepping outside the front door of our home each morning, as I've already said, and seeing those fields white to harvest. That's a challenge that's come to me only over the last few months as we've been engaged in doing what we're doing, to go out each morning and looking for that opportunity to work in the harvest. And as we do so, I believe God will bring the opportunity to us. But more specifically then, worship on the streets, because our actual focus since the launch of Commission has indeed been primarily worship on the streets. And we've seen our numbers out there grow from just Ben and David Shepherd and myself back in, I think it was October time, was it, when we started? October, November time. To Catherine, Patricia, Ben, Dave again, David Shepherd, Chris Jones, Benj, Victory, Freddie and myself when we last ventured out there, which was, when was that? Just before Christmas, wasn't it? Or was it just after Christmas, January? And on that occasion, Victory and Benj walked the precinct area and speaking to mainly homeless individuals, wasn't it, Benj? And praying with them as they were able to do so. Did you get many opportunities to pray? Yeah, good. In fact, they enjoyed their time doing that so much that when we'd all packed up and were ready to get in our cars and leave the precinct, Victory and Benj decided to do another circuit and stayed behind. So good for them. But our co-mission vision has also extended beyond our own church community as well, so that we've seen our numbers swelled to include believers from other church groups. So in fact, on our very first outing out there with some members of Mosaic, who actually were just meeting down the street, or had been meeting a bit, little bit further down the street from where we were, passing by, and they stopped to join us and sing with us for one song, I think it was, Ben, wasn't it, for one song. And then on another occasion, there were members of Bethel Church who were passing by. They actually stopped and joined us for the remainder of our time out there. So they grew us quite significantly on that day. Yeah. And actually, they actually asked to be informed each time we intended to go out there again. I think one of the couple had been to school with Ben, one of his former school colleagues. Yeah, and on our last outing out there, four members of Coventry Elim joined us, and while we were singing, we spotted one of their number, with some young teens who were seated just nearby where we were, and talking to them, and eventually praying with them. And I think he prayed with them for salvation, didn't he, Ben? Yeah? Yeah? That's great. Now, that sort of exemplifies the idea of the thing. It's co-mission. very specifically co-mission, co-mission beyond ourselves, because of course we're all part of the one church in the city and we're all about the same mission. So these pages have stuck together. But I just wanted to just let you know why specifically worship on the street, where we were seeing that as our primary venture just at this point. Well, let me just share two other scriptures with you which will give you the idea. Psalm 22 verse 3 says, "You are holy and enthroned on the praises of Israel." And then Jesus speaking again in John chapter 12 and verse 32, he says, "And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." And so the scriptures tell us that the Lord is enthroned on the praises of his people. And we believe that as we go out and worship on the streets, and as we bring our praise and worship into the public space, we're actually proclaiming the universal kingship and authority of Christ. And as we do that, we're actually putting all pretending authorities in their proper place and subjection, and actually preparing the way for the Lord to move and to do his work, as we've evidently seen as we've gone out. For him to be able to do his work of drawing all men and all women and children, because we've had children come up and speak to us as well, to himself. So so we met again last Thursday, and now we have two future dates in the diary for worship on the street. I'll give them to you now, because we'd love to see you out there with us. I think you may have got the idea. We're not going out there haranguing people. We're not going out preaching specifically. We're not going out even approaching people. But people are coming to us and speaking to us. We've only had one negative response, but by the grace and mercy of the Lord and the scriptures, we turn that to one side, and this particular man gladly received what we had to give him and took it away with him, didn't he, Ben? So good. So those dates, anyway, just in conclusion, now are Sunday's the 24th of March, and then the first Sunday in April, the 7th of April. So I hope that clarifies a lot of what Co-mission have been doing. You know, they haven't just been disappearing in the middle of the meeting and saying that they're going out somewhere, and, you know, what have they been doing? That's what we've been doing, and that's what we've been seeing done. And we thank God for that. It won't stay at worship on the streets. We're going to take these things away, look, pray about them and consider them, and see what we can do to facilitate the ideas and the preferences that each one of us have, so that the co-mission can be spread more widely and more greatly amongst us. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this teaching from City Church Coventry. You can find more great teaching and other resources on our website at www.citychurchcoventry.org.